Welcome back to Match Volume. We're your hosts, Sadie Olson
and Hala Osgar. Sadly, this is our last episode of the season. We've had a great semester hosting the show, and we want to thank you all for listening.
I will be spending the next semester studying abroad in London, so tune in next season for some brand new hosts.
And with the new year approaching, I'd like to talk about our resolutions instead of obsessions. Sadie, what are yours?
I think I'd like to start journaling, especially over my semester abroad. What about you?
I want to be more comfortable with saying yes more. I think oftentimes we're told to prioritize ourselves and to not be afraid of saying no, which is true and is important, but I want to put myself out there more next year. And for our last episode, Sadie interviewed the executive director of the LA Philharmonic, Gil Samuel.
I'm Gail Samuel, and I'm the executive director of the Los Angeles Philharmonic.
Are you a part of any other organizations outside of the LA Philharmonic?
Yes. So I'm on the board of the Thornton School of Music. I'm also on the board of A Noise Within Theater in Pasadena.
So what did you do before you came to the LA Philharmonic?
Well, I've been at the LA Philharmonic a really, really, really long time. Yeah. I've actually been here for 27 years. So, but before that, I was a violinist. Not professionally, but through school, I went to USC. I studied music and psychology at USC, and then I kind of hopped around for a few years after college, working on the East Coast a little bit at the Yale School of Music and Tanglewood Music Festival. And then I worked here in LA at the Young Musicians Foundation and had a stint of a couple years at the Minnesota Orchestra. And otherwise, I've been here for my career.
So what did you start out doing when you started at the LA Philharmonic? And like, what's been your career trajectory here?
Well, I started out in concert production. So I had an assistant once who... a staff member who kept all of my business cards from when I started.
Oh, wow.
And my first title was operations assistant. And so I started out working in the orchestra department, managing concerts, working with the orchestra members just on anything that they needed, helping organize tours. And then when I came back from then I went to the Minnesota Orchestra. And when I came back from that, I was orchestra manager, and so continued for about 20 years working very closely with the orchestra, also doing concert production both here at Walt Disney Concert Hall and at the Hollywood Bowl. And then about 7 years ago, I made a shift in my position, which is to what I'm doing now, which primarily what I do is manage the Hollywood Bowl. So the venue management there, and also all of the non-classical programming that we do.
How did you know that you wanted to go into music? Did you grow up with music, or what was your experience with that?
My parents were both public school music teachers, so I very much grew up with music. It was not a question of whether we were all going to play instruments, but what instrument we were going to play. So I chose violin when I was, I think, in second grade. And I have a brother who chose trombone and another brother who chose cello. And it was sort of a given that we would study music. And I didn't really know when I got to college what I wanted to do, but I continued to play music. I played in the USC Symphony. And as I went through my first couple years at USC, I discovered that I really wanted to be involved in music, not as a professional performer. I think that I probably wasn't that good. And I just would have had to work really, really hard at that part of it. And I also didn't want to spend that much time in a practice room. I liked the social aspect of being part of music. And so I started studying psychology and music, and which made no sense to me at the time. But then after I graduated, I thought, wait a minute, like I could manage, you know, get into management. And then kind of having studied those two things sort of made sense after years of working with musicians and in this business.
So what was your music education like at USC? What was your favorite part about studying music?
I loved playing in orchestra. I always loved playing in orchestra. Again, I think that was part of the social aspect of it for me. So I really enjoyed that. But I took just all that we had music history and ear training and theory. And so for me, it was kind of the combination of everything that I was doing, because I found that, you know, what I was thinking about in psychology kind of applied in music and vice versa. And I found that really fascinating.
Yeah. Did you ever think about going into like music therapy or like, yeah.
Yeah, I did. I did. But then I didn't really know what that would mean. And yeah. And it also, I think, just didn't suit me, I think. And I discovered really quickly when I started. I started actually at USC as the librarian for the orchestras there at the time while I was a student. And then I kind of found jobs, and I found that it really clicked with me pretty quickly. One of the summers I was working with Tanglewood. At Tanglewood, I remember standing in a whole, like, there were 8 or 10 students all around me, high school students, all asking me questions at the same time. And I had this great moment of being like, yes, no, you forget it. No, over there, go, you know, 12 o'clock. And and I liked the way it all came together. And I found that I could really feel part of what was happening on stage without being on stage.
Right. So you kind of like that like end-to-end production piece of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Who were some of your musical heroes growing up? Who did you look up to?
My musical heroes growing up. Actually, my dad, probably. You know, my dad, again, both of my parents, public school music teachers, but my dad taught middle school for, I don't know, at least 20 years of his career, maybe 30. And I always marveled that he could spend the whole day with middle schoolers. And now that I've had middle schoolers, I actually know what that means.
Teaching recorder.
So, yeah. But he was really so passionate about teaching and so passionate about music. I mean, he was a kid who actually, he had a great story that his school had a visit from the LA Phil. Mm-hmm. And he went home that day to his parents saying, like, I want to play trombone. And that was kind of then his path for the rest of his life. So I love that.
Was he your middle school music teacher?
Oh, no.
You would have been mortified, probably.
No, yeah, I don't know what that would have been like, actually. No, he was in a different district, actually.
What drew you to orchestra rather than, like, band or more popular music type thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it was just that I was familiar with it because I had been playing violin. And so as a violinist, you know, I feel like there are more and more options for musicians in different genres and different ways of being part of music and part of that industry. But I felt at that time like that was what I knew. And so that really, really appealed to me. I think the great thing about the LA Phil is that it is a lot more than that, you know, in addition to being an orchestra, it's a lot more than that. So it's allowed me to expand on my love of orchestras and kind of take it in different directions as well.
I think it takes a lot of patience as a second grader to learn the violin. Yeah, I know when I picked an instrument, I picked trumpet because I picked like the loudest thing I could pick.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, so I no longer play the trumpet, but
I no longer play the violin.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes a lot of patience.
My son plays now, but yeah.
What does your son play?
I have one son who plays violin and another who's a drummer percussionist.
Oh, so. Everyone wanted to be a percussionist. Yes. I think that was the
it's
big thing.
It's super cool.
Yeah, very cool. What's your favorite part about working for the LA Philharmonic?
Oh, favorite part. That's a great question. I think, gosh, it's varied over years, right? But I think that I'm going to say two things. I'm not going to say one. Variety. I think because of the nature of this organization and that we are always at our heart an orchestra, but we are also, you know, we also operate the Hollywood Bowl and we also run Youth Orchestra Los Angeles and there's just a lot of variety. So I don't get bored. There's always a lot of change in my days and it's really interesting and change over the years. And, you know, I think there's not a lot of people who maybe would want to, but can stay in one place and really build a whole career that is actually varied. So I love that. And the other thing is the people. I think that our musicians and the staff that I work with and our board members, it's really a incredibly high performing, smart, dedicated group of people. And I love working with them.
So what has that changed since like looked like since you started here versus now?
I think a lot of it has to just do with just the amount, the scope and scale of what we do. So when I started, we were at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion, which is a wonderful hall, but not really built for orchestras. And, you know, we did 90 orchestra concerts a year, and we had a few education concerts on top of that. And then, you know, we would sort of, the month of June would be fairly quiet, and then we would move to the Hollywood Bowl and do our concerts there. And then in September, there'd be a couple down weeks, and then we'd start up again. And it's just there's no cycle anymore. It's just, it's one on top of the other. You know, the Hollywood Bowl starts as early as April and goes into early November. And at the concert hall, you know, we now present not just the orchestra, but, you know, jazz and world music and a songbook series and Baroque and organ recitals and chamber music. You know, it's all of these things that have just become a lot more. And so the organization has become a lot bigger.
Yeah. So speaking of different like cultural music and different kinds of voices, how do you incorporate that with the LA Philharmonic?
Yeah. I mean, we do a few things. In some of what we do in those ways, and like with our, we've long presented jazz, I think, since, I don't know, the 70s or 80s, we've had a jazz presentation. And I think that some of that is separate from the orchestra itself, but very much part of our organization. We have an artistic position, which is our creative chair for jazz, which is currently held by Herbie Hancock. And so we've always been engaged in these other art forms. But the bringing together of different art forms is really interesting, and that's something that for us can have real value. There may be an artist that we're talking to who, you know, has options of what to do around Los Angeles, where to play, how to do that. But we can say, hey, have you ever thought about working with an orchestra? What do you think about this? And putting those things together, both with the LA Philharmonic and the Hollywood Bowl Orchestra, gives us some more variety. And you know, I think there's been over the years some really interesting, Wynton Marsalis wrote a piece called All Rise, which was for jazz band and orchestra. And we gave the premiere of that piece, which was actually in 2001, right after September 11th. We had had that scheduled that week anyway. So there's actual, other than just sort of throwing people together because it sounds interesting, there are very intentional ways that we can curate those programs with different groups together.
Right. Recently you guys got a new conductor, right? Or how long has Gustavo been working here? He's newish,
ten
yes?
Years.
What?
Ten years.
Oh, 10 years. Okay.
Yeah.
I read wrong. Okay. Yeah. So do you want to like talk about him a little bit and his
sure.
vision for the orchestra?
Yeah. Gustavo's fantastic. And he started in 2009 with us, and you know, his values around music, I think, based on him coming from Venezuela and from the El Sistema education program around the orchestra in Venezuela, coming to us, you know, his values are very much about, he describes the orchestra as a community. So it's a place where people are all working together. And it's funny, my dad used to say that same thing. Actually, my dad used to talk about an orchestra being one of the few places, he loved kids being in orchestras because it was one of the few places in their life where there wasn't winners and losers. Mm-hmm. Everybody was doing the same thing. And he always found that really beautiful. And Gustavo carries very much that same message, which really resonates with me. So things like our Youth Orchestra Los Angeles, our YOLA program, you know, we've had all sorts of education programs over the years, but never has one taken a central role in the organization like YOLA has since Gustavo came. And we actually started a little bit before he came, but it's critical to who we are. I mean, the orchestra is on tour right now, and there's a group of kids from YOLA with them. They were in Mexico City last week, and there was an entire orchestra from YOLA who traveled with them. So it's really become integral, and the idea that of providing access to all kids. You know, I never would want any child who thinks they might be interested in being part of an orchestra to feel like because they didn't see themselves necessarily on stage, to feel like it wasn't for them. And I think that's what we're trying to do with YOLA.
Very cool. Yeah, I noticed how much you focus on like diversity and like making sure that young kids see themselves in the orchestra and want to like be a part of it. I found that very interesting and inspiring. This is kind of a random question, but do you have a favorite concert hall that's not Walt Disney Concert Hall?
Well, I'm no. Frank Gehry is listening. No. Gosh, do I have a favorite concert hall? No, the Hollywood Bowl. I mean, if there's really, I mean, right? So, which says how lucky I am to be working at this organization, that if there's one that rivals the other, for me, it's both of the places where, you know, we have the pleasure of performing. So I think the thing about this hall, you were asking about, like, how have things changed over time? Mm-hmm. And certainly the moment we moved into this hall was a very, very critical point, because I think had we not, this would be an entirely different organization. Absolutely. And, you know, it was interesting, because when we would go on tour prior to having this concert hall being here, every other hall you went to would be better than what we had at home. It would be like, oh my gosh, it sounds so great. And now you kind of go on the road and there are some great halls, but rarely is there one that feels better than this one.
That's a good place to be. Where do you see this organization going in the next decade? What are some of your goals for working here? Where do you want to see this organization go?
I think that we just had our centennial, right? And clearly the first 100 years of this orchestra were about building an international reputation, being an artistic leader, and that all needs to stay in place. And at the same time, I think what we see as our next 100 years is really about being Los Angeles's orchestra and being part of and open to and welcome to the entire, all of the varied communities of Los Angeles, and having, as you said, you know, everybody feel like this is their place. And so programs like YOLA, you know, will continue and will continue to expand. We started a program just last year, which is called the LA Phil Resident Fellows. And it's a program where we audition musicians who are from communities traditionally underrepresented in orchestras, primarily African-American, Native American, and Latino. And they don't become full members of the orchestra, but they play with the orchestra more than half the year, and we support them in going to other auditions for other orchestras. And you know, they have done work with us in education, but we had four fellows last year. We have four this year. Two have already gotten jobs in other major orchestras, which is the goal of the program. We're sad for them to be gone, but I think this idea of people, you know, seeing themselves on stage is really important and important in feeling like, you know, one belongs.
Yeah, I saw that fellowship program. Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
It's great.
And then I guess, like, where do you see your career trajectory going? Like in
gosh, I don't know how to answer that question. You know, I have built a career at the LA Phil, so I think it's possible I will be here. And I'm always fascinated to see what new and interesting things this organization does, and proud to be a part of it.
Well, thank you, Gail.
Of course. My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the season 2 finale of Match Volume. Follow us on Instagram at Match Volume and tune in next semester for a brand new season. A special thanks to Maria Takigawa for her contributions to our social media. For Annenberg Media, I'm Hala Oscar.
And I'm Sadie Olson. Have a happy and safe holiday.